Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today we're in the New Testament, in the book of Luke. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Well, this morning we're going to continue in our journey through Luke's gospel. We started going through in chapter 8 as Jesus is continuing to kind of teaching this concept of faith. And he really begins with this thought of the parable of the sower and talks about, just the significance of the word of God and how the word of God planted into our lives and how that's embedded into our hearts and then springs forth and starts to grow our faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We got to remember that. Romans 10:17. That's how our faith is developed. Our faith is developed as we're in the word. Our faith is not, it's not just seeing a miracle. That's awesome. That's encouraging. That's wonderful. That's not the biblical way that your faith and my faith is built up. Our faith is built up as we are in the word of God, that implanting of the seed of his word, and it springs forth and it bears fruit to God's glory. And as we look at this and we see the word being planted in our lives, and as we've been kind of going through this, we talked about the latter part of verse 21, we started off our last message with this. The question was to Jesus, hey, your mom's out front, your brothers are there, your family's out there, they want to see you. And he says, wait a minute, who is my family really? And he describes his real family. My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. So first there's that idea of teaching. So there's this, Jesus teaches us something through his word, and then he tests us on it. That's just the way, it's consistent. He teaches and he tests. He teaches and he tests. In other words, he gives us this opportunity, and sometimes he uses the trials, the temptations, the testing in our lives to continue the teaching process. Now, this does not, this does not make you more or less spiritual. This is to really give you an idea, I think, most of the time, of really where you're at. God already knows where you're at. God knows where you're at sitting here this morning, what you're thinking about, what you spend all your time occupied doing. God knows. God knows right where you're at. God knows the struggles you're having. God knows what's going on in your life. But he's wanting to get you to exercise that faith, that implanted word in your life to become stronger, to become, as you exercise, you become stronger. Your trust begins to develop more. Because really, when we talk about faith, one, we know that it's impossible to please, without faith, it is impossible to please God. What is our purpose as Christians? To be well-pleasing to the Lord. I mean, that's God's desire. That's the purpose of the church, is to glorify the Lord, to be well-pleasing to him. We are created for his good pleasure. So we know that's our main purpose, to honor him, to worship him, to give him glory. Now, in light of that, yes, we want to propel the gospel because that's something that we've been, commissioned to do. But that's not the main purpose of the church. As the body of Christ, the main purpose is that we really honor him and give him glory and that our lives are well-pleasing to him. So don't ever get confused about really, what would the will of God, just whatever you believe the word teaches you that is well-pleasing to him, you're going to be in good ground, safe ground there. And so this idea of without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's one thing for sure to think about. We know that we walk by faith, not by sight. So in other words, not by my feelings, if you can see it happening in advance, it's not faith. You see, a lot of times we want to map things out and then we plan and then we say, it's all about God and we're jumping around. But wait a minute, is it really? Because yeah, we want to trust the Lord, but it's by faith that we trust him. This idea of trusting is really linked and is really what faith equals. Trust is an important thing, isn't it? And yet it's a hugely lacking thing in our world today. within relationships, trust is radically lacking. And it just it transfers over into, you know, from our families, it transfers all the way out into our relationship with God. This is why it's so important that we're really building trust with one another in the Lord, in our families and stuff, so that we're showing that right example, so that when our kids get bigger, they can just begin to trust God on their own. And that's really important, really, really important. Trust is a big key to this. You know, do we really trust God? And so when they got into the boat, we remember this, they got into the boat and they ended up struggling. I don't think it went real well, that particular testing situation. God does not give Fs. Jesus is very kind and does not give you a failed certificate. So that's awesome. I'm encouraged by that. But he does give you do-overs, you know, and so you'll continue to go back over and over and over those things to learn. And that's okay. That's part of the experience. I think it helps to breed humility in our lives, you know, to be reminded. Again, God knows where we're at. And really, the testing that goes on proves out really where you're at in your journey. And it helps you. And you can say, wow, great, man, I've really grown in this. I'm thank you, Lord. You've really helped me. And that's good. And then what about the other circumstances that don't go so well? Well, Lord, wow, that looks like that really needs some help. But that humility helps us to extend, because we're going to ask for God for grace in that, aren't we? I am. And that's going to help you and me to extend that grace to others too. You know, because a lot of times we can get kind of hardcore in our thinking that, well, we've got to figure out, we do it right, we've got this, blah, blah. You know, and wait a minute, we need God's grace, and these are the things that help us to stay humble. Those testings are very good for us. Yes, we want to come through with flying colors every time. Agreed. But it doesn't always go that way. Oftentimes it just doesn't. But God still loves us. God's just wanting to really reveal where we're at. He wants to show us, man, this is where we need to work on. And if you're struggling with, you know, faith and these concepts that we're talking about, get into the Word. Get into the Word. Get into the Word. Man, it's going to help you grow and develop in your faith and your trust in God. All those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Again, not a promise we hang all over our house. I understand that. Nonetheless, a promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Also a promise. You and I have got to reconcile that. Because a lot of times when we go through the struggle, we feel like he's left us or forsaken us. And that's the cry of our hearts. We feel in desperate loss. And we feel like, well, God, how come you're not answering my prayers? Well, maybe he is. Maybe this testing that he's allowing is what he wants to develop and for you to grow through. I really like this in our conclusion as we were talking about, because Jesus asked the guys in verse 25, man, he wasn't freaked out about the storm. He wasn't freaked out that they were freaked out. None of those things were what were going on. What was Jesus' biggest concern? Man, guys, where's your faith? We just went through and talked about all this. And why would he say that? Where's your faith? Well, gosh, we got scared here. Wait a minute. You got to go back to what Jesus said in verse 22. He said, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. His spoken word to them was, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. That was the word spoken, implanted into their hearts. And they were to trust Jesus with that, knowing that they were going to set their feet on the ground on the other side of the lake. But midway, they freaked out. So Jesus said, where was your faith? So Jesus doesn't come to you. He doesn't come to me and says, hey, what's going on, man? You're just totally blowing it and stuff. You know, Jesus, he spoke it in advance. Now, how are you going to know that he spoke it in advance unless you're in this, in the Word? If you're in the Word, you're going to know he spoke. This is why we push and speak about and encourage and challenge time spent with God. Invest in it. It's going to help you in your journey with the Lord. It'll help you strengthen your journey and walk and trust him. The end of this idea that faith is mutually exclusive, it excludes fear. It's like walking into the dark room. You hit the switch. Light comes on. As long as you're not down in Southwest Missouri right now, because that'd be trouble. The power's out down there, a lot of it. But anyway, you walk into a room. You guys, hello? Okay, you guys are there. Good. Anyway, it's not funny, is it? Other people struggle with their power being out. I know. But you walk into a room. You hit the switch. Lights come on. It's a dark room. You hit the switch. Lights come on. Where's the dark? It dissipated. It's gone. They're mutually exclusive. They can't dwell together. Well, faith and fear are similar. What grips your life? What grips my life? And this is why Jesus talks about this so often, is because fear is immobilizing. Fear is controlling. Satan uses it powerfully in all of our lives. Now, there is reverent, godly fear, understanding who God is and who we are not. That's good wisdom. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. I mean, it's to know God, we have to have fear and reverence for who he is. That's absolutely correct. But this is that immobile, that fear and reverence of God drives me to my knees in respect and adoration of who he is and who I'm not and my dependency and my need for him. So it's a positive thing. Satan tries to use this to keep us away from God, away from God's people, away from the situations that would promote growth in our lives. Fear can be very immobilizing. And I really like this because as you think about this, oftentimes, what do you spend most of your time dwelling on? You perseverate, I perseverate, we get lost in these things, and it usually has to do with the things that are gripping our lives with fear. I'm fearful to say something, you know? My husband just doesn't understand. He's got a hair trigger, man. He just can't listen, you know? My wife, she just won't stop talking. And so I'm fearful to even say anything because it'll just unleash a whole nother conversation. I can't even keep up with the third one back. You know, whatever it might be, fear starts to grip our lives. And we just freak out about things and we don't move forward. We get just stuck in this spot. But the thing is we spend a lot of time thinking about our fear. And we end up feeding that fear, just continuing to feed it. We're supposed to starve the fear and feed our faith. How do you feed your faith? Again, Romans 10, 17. Getting into the Word of God will feed your faith. Therefore, you will be starving your fears. Good, good thought. Something to really think on. Man, it really ministered to me. That particular word really ministered to me. Man, don't spend, what, let's see, Philippians, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are noble, whatever things are of good report. Think on these, dwell on these, contemplate these. Yeah, Philippians 4, I believe, yeah. So, you know, this is the thought, you know, stay in that, bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ. You know, dwell on those things. This is how we begin to starve out the fear and begin to feed the faith. You see, the Lord's, and what was Philippians is all about your mind. The whole letter that Paul wrote is all about the mind and really submitting and yielding our mind over to the Lord. The whole letter's about that. These are things to think on as we go along. So this concept is well put forth as Jesus is wanting to really give them an opportunity to see where they're at in their journey. Are they really walking by faith? They're with him all the time, but are they really dependent on him? Are they really trusting him? And then they sailed. They went on to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee, in verse 27 of chapter 8. And when they had stepped out on the land, there met them a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time and who wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. So he just kind of roamed around the graveyard, basically. Modern idea. Just wandered around the graveyard and lived there. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him and kept him under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demons into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss, knowing that this is their ultimate destination. There's a whole lot in here that we aren't going to spend a ton of time on. But man, there's a lot regarding demonology and the reality of demon possession and all of this. There's a lot in here. And their ultimate destination, we can see here that the demons now were driving this guy out into the wilderness, but for separation, you know, and to destroy. Jesus was driven out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit and was tested there, you know, but it was to reveal who he is. It was more of a, this is what Jesus is wanting to do when he's testing you. He's really wanting to reveal who he is to the world around us. There's no doubt. That's one of the aspects of it also. He's wanting to show who the Son of God is in your life. Absolutely. It's not about you. This is the biggest bummer that happens with us in our modern world and pretty much humanity, period. It's not just our modern world, but it's certainly emphasized in our modern world. You know, things just aren't really about you. It's good to look in the mirror and just tell yourself that. You know, this really isn't all about you. Because everything just gets so self-absorbed and we're just so indulgent, you know? Do you ever get just sick of yourself? I'm being serious. Do you ever just go, oh my gosh, you know? You know? You just, everything you think about has to do with you and where you're going to eat and what you're going to do and who you're going to hang out with and what's going to go on next and what, you know, just, you know? You just want to get out of yourself. And you can by hanging out with Jesus. Jesus says, man, just self is not what it's all about. Crucify the flesh with its passions and desires, you know? So clear. There's so much in here about demonology, and we really don't have a lot of time, but they knew their ultimate destination. And so that's important to know. They knew who Jesus was. They recognized him. They knew he had power and authority over them. Just think through some of those things. They recognized who he was, the demons, the legion, the thousand that are inside this guy, recognized who he is. Hey, man, you know, don't send us to the abyss. They know that's their ultimate destination even. There's a lot that the demons do know. And they even recognize who God is. But Jesus has power and authority over them. Now, a herd of many swine was feeding there in the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them. And he permitted them. And then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. Yes, many jokes are running through my mind, but I will refrain. No deviled ham jokes, none of that's going to. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. And then they went out to see what had happened. All the people that had heard, they'd gone out, see what had gone on, and they came to Jesus and found the man who the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Interesting, their response, don't you think? I find that interesting. You know, that one, this should be a joyous occasion, right? Man, this guy's got his clothes on. That's exciting enough. That's a positive thing, you know. The guy's dressed, so that's good. And then he's sitting there, and he's sane. He's got his right mind right now. So this is really good stuff. But their response interests me, and they were afraid. Who was this that had entered into their community? Who was this that's changing things up? And so this guy, if he's God, we're being exposed for who we are too. Because you see, there's not supposed to be any pigs there. They're not supposed to raise swine. It's not lawful. They're not supposed to be doing that. And they know it. And they're convicted. And the conviction brought fear. They were fearful. Whoa. Now, just step back for just a moment and think about your interaction with people that don't know the Lord. Just step back and just think about this. When God's doing something in your life, when God's delivered you from something, when God's doing something in you and through your life, and people that don't know the Lord, there is a conviction just simply with your presence. Just with your presence being there. And it brings about a little bit of a fear in them. Not of you. Again, what does this have to do with? Not you, right? So this has to do with Jesus. Jesus in you is bringing conviction upon their lives. This is why they say to you, oh, wow, well, you know, so now you're holier than thou and you're all, you know. Well, hopefully you're not coming off that way. That's a good double check for you. There's nothing wrong with checking up on that. But hopefully that's not what's going on. Hopefully it really is the Holy Spirit, the presence of God as it comes around. Sometimes it can bring these kind of things. And what's our role? To diffuse that and to show them that they too can have faith in Jesus Christ. They too could come to know the Lord. Look at how this plays out. They also had seen it, told them, who had seen it, told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. They said, hey, this is what happened. It is also interesting to me that they were a little bit, we're supposed to be entirely in sync with eternity when someone gets saved, when someone gets made right. Right? If someone gets into their right mind, they come to know Jesus Christ. All of Christendom and so on, we should just be thrilled beyond belief. You know, we should be in sync with all of eternity. How in sync were these people with anything that had to do with that? One, they're raising pigs that they're not supposed to. And the other thing is they had a big loss of revenue that just went off the cliff. Their economy just went bad. Right? Isn't that what happened? Their whole economy just went bad. And you look at this, man. They were much more concerned about all of what's happening with their economy than really the fact that this man was made well, that he was healed. Complete perspective. Please, stay with me on this thought. You and I need to make sure we've got a right perspective of what's going on around us. God is allowing all kinds of things to happen all around us. It is serious. I understand all of this stuff is very serious. But what's your perspective on it? Who are you trusting? Where's your faith? Do you know that God's really ultimately in control of all this? That's what's great. God's ultimately in control. What a great thing to know. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear, and he got into the boat and returned. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. You know, in the book of Acts, we learned a great little story. And I think about it sometimes when we wrap up a message like we did today and how there's just a response that kind of stirs in us when we hear God's word. You know, there was a guy that was a Philippian jailer. He was just a jail guard, and he realized that the people that he was interacting with were worshiping God and connected with God. And his response when he interacted with these guys, he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." You know, God's got a plan and a purpose not only for you, but for your family, for your household, for your friends. But it begins with you giving your life to Jesus and getting right with God. Maybe you've gone to church. Maybe you've gone to church your whole life, but never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you did give your life to Jesus, but you're not walking with him. Either way, maybe this is the first time you've ever heard the gospel message, the good news that God loves you and has a purpose and plan for your life. Anyway, God loves you, and it's a simple prayer of faith. And it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done, God will forgive you of your sin if you will confess your sin. He will be faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Let's pray that prayer right now. Jesus, I want to ask that you'd forgive me of all my sin, that you'd come into my heart and make my heart your home. I want to receive you as my personal Lord and Savior.
Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for everlasting life. And fill me with your Holy Spirit that my life might please you. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us again next time on Living Fountains.